Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries has a worldwide reach and an intimate impact on lives through the gracious provision of our omnipotent God, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the internet, a place where people with access can be reached with your word. Today's Bible lesson, God's dealings with you are personal. God's dealings with you are personal. Well, remind me never to play golf with Mike Embry in a week where I teach a sensitive subject. Because every time I hit the ball yesterday, there was everything happens for a reason. I really didn't appreciate it, especially right after I hit one into the water on 18. Or when I took a 10 on the third hole. But the Word of God helps me to resist temptation. For example, Joel Prokosky sent this bit of wisdom this week. So when someone says everything happens for a reason, a fun thing to do is punch them in the face and say, this was meant to be. And I resisted the urge to bring blessing into Mike's life yesterday, mainly because it's illegal, especially punching old people. You can't be doing that. But Mike wasn't the only one who poked fun at the lesson this weekend. For most of those, this is true. Everything happens for a reason, but sometimes the reason is that you're stupid and make bad decisions. So there I said it. So thank you for all the feedback. We continue our study of the final three verses of the fourth passage of Romans chapter 8. And as we move to the end of the eighth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, everything from verse 26 to verse 39 talks about what God does. And the passages within that section are filled with the personal things that God does for us. So let's review the fourth passage, and then we can get on with our study of it. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. In the same way we groan within ourselves, as it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 23, waiting eagerly for our adoption as adult sons, waiting eagerly for the redemption of our bodies, and waiting eagerly for the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Just the way we groan, God the Holy Spirit, who is called the first fruits of our salvation, groans also to help our weakness. For example, we don't know how to pray as we should, but God the Holy Spirit himself personally intercedes for us in prayer with groanings too deep for words. With everything and in the matter of you, it's intensely personal to God. Romans 8:27. And God the Father, who keeps on searching the hearts of all those who pray, knows what the mind of God the Holy Spirit is through his groanings, which can't really be uttered in words. Because God the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints, and the saints are all believers in Christ, according to the will of God the Father. Romans 8:28, this is the verse under study, and we'll finish this today. And we know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God the Father, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:29, we'll study these verses starting next week. For those whom God the Father foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Lord would be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:30, and those whom God the Father predestined, he also called. And those whom God the Father called, he also justified. And those whom God the Father justified, he also glorified. So last week we began our study of verse 28. Today we'll finish it. And we want to welcome you to a place where you can know God. There's nothing that makes me madder than when somebody talks about God in the context of, well, you know, you can't really know. You can't ever really know. And I just tell you, I would never want to worship a God that you couldn't really know. But God puts us in a position to absolutely know him and to absolutely know what his program is for mankind. And we learn his exact thinking by coming here because we study the Bible, the mind of Christ, which is the canon of Scripture. All right, so we'll begin our lesson with a song. We're going to listen to the song Flawless, and it is sung by Mercy Me.
There's got to be more than going back and forth. Introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless.
The cross has made you flawless.
No matter the hurt or how deep the like this and wrap him up in righteousness, but that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless.
The cross has made you flawless.
No matter the hurt or how deep you to grace, grace, God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless.
The cross has made you flawless.
And no matter the hurt or how deep the
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thanks for being a wonderful example as the source of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And thank you for giving us knowledge from above through the inerrant Word of God. And thanks for giving us your Holy Spirit who helps us understand it. And thank you for letting us make the mistakes of experience so that we can gain tried and true wisdom as a very real part of our spiritual lives. Help us, Father, to reject the wisdom of the world, knowing that it is foolishness in your eyes. And help us to accept, to embrace, and to gravitate to the wisdom that comes only from your instruction. Give us humble and teachable hearts so that we may love the wisdom of living a godly life through our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who called us by his own glory and goodness. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, God's dealings with you are personal. God's dealings with you are personal. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God the Father, to those who are called according to the Father's purpose." Now, if you look at this verse, it has several parts, and we'll study the parts of this verse, and not so oddly enough, the 29 and 30 verses, we're going to study the parts of those too. But here it is, "And we know," that's the first part, "God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God the Father, to those who are called to God the Father's purpose." Well, what do all these various parts mean? So that's what we're going to find out in this lesson. But first, a few announcements. So first of all, mark your calendars. Deacons, the next deacons meeting is April 30th, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration after today is May 8th, and that is also Mother's Day. Mark your calendars. The Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference will be held in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, August 5th and 6th, 2016. And so start saving your ducats and booking your tickets. You fly into Spokane for that, by the way. Can you fly directly? Has anybody ever flown direct Coeur d'Alene? No, like Allegiant. We've got Allegiant Airlines, you know, where you have to help flap the plane. So I don't know. All right, good. So it's flying to Spokane, and I think it's an hour and a half drive from there. Mark your calendars. We will have evening lessons only on August 7th, 21st, and then September 18th, and that'll be on the website. Mark your calendars. The New York, Pennsylvania Conference will be at Traditions at the Glen in Johnson City, New York, September 16, 17. We just sent the deposit off for that this week, so thank you for contributing so that we could do that. Every Barah Ministries lesson is online, video, audio, and readable notes, and so there are a lot of ways for you to take advantage of the Word of God. One of them is to download the app, the Barah Ministries app. And you can have Barah Ministries wherever you go. It's available at Google Play. It's available at the Windows App Store or at the iTunes Store or on the Barah Ministries website. Tell your friends about the app because it's never been easier to have the Word of God at your disposal all the time. We're on the radio in Phoenix, KXCG, 1280 AM, The Trumpet, Sundays at noon. And all of our radio shows are online as well. And if you want to listen to the radio show online, you just go to 1280kxcg.com. There's a section called Listen on Demand, and you select the host. That would be me, Pastor Rory Clark. The program is called God Cares for You. And you click Look Up and select your lesson, and voila, you will hear it. Prayers for the petitions and intercessions in the Barah Ministries Prayer Request Group. And I don't know whether this petition is in there, but June lost her job this week. So, June, everything happens for a reason.
Thank you.
I meant to encourage you, by the way. But anyway, let's join me in prayer for June and for all the others who are on there. And June told me that she was in sales this week, you know, and I'm saying, look, you got a pastor who's a consultant in sales. How come you didn't tell me? You know, so I punched her in her face. So if you see a little red spot, that was me. And what else was I going to say about that? I was going to say something else, but I got so visual about the punch that I really wanted to do it for a second. Happy birthday to me, April 13th. Somebody else is supposed to say that. So my birthday is coming up this Wednesday, and I was born on a Wednesday, which is awesome. Wednesday's child is full of woe. Yeah, woe. That's probably what they meant, Susie. It probably didn't mean W-O-E. It probably meant Wednesday Child is full of woe. But I doubt that seriously. I don't think that's what it meant. And what are you doing?
And now, just like at your favorite restaurant, we're going to sing you happy birthday.
Are you really? That's
as
awesome.
As a group, while everybody's here.
All right, that's
except
cool.
Except for June, since she lost her job.
Yeah,
she can take this one out.
Please, June. You don't have to sing.
So come on, everybody.
Birthday, dear Rory.
Aww.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. You know, there are some things I miss about systematic theology. They didn't sing to you, they gave you money. And when they did sing, they didn't sound like they had a stomach ache. Dorothy, can you help these people? She's, yeah. Isn't it? Yes, it is, Dorothy. I'm not so subtle, am I? And so next week we'll be singing to Dana Youngs, who has a birthday coming up on April 18th. You're not going to be here? Yeah, so we'll sing online. You can pick it up online. That is it? When is your birthday? Yes, it is. When's your birthday? Tell me. It's the 16th. Okay, good. So we'll fix that. So it's Saturday coming up. Good. Well, today's Bible lesson is God's dealings with you are personal. God's dealings with you are personal. So let's dissect Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to see the personal nature of God's dealings with us. Romans 8, 28 says this, we know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God the Father, to those who are called according to the Father's purpose. So let's start off with the first one. And we know. We know that God infuses us with knowledge because God wants us to know Him. Remember the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17? Here's how it started. It said, Jesus spoke these things. And then lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. The hour he was talking about was the hour for his crucifixion. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. John 17, 2. Even as you gave your Son the authority over all flesh, he is the creator of all flesh and he is the boss of all flesh, that all whom you have given him, to them he may give eternal life. John 17, 3, this is eternal life. Here's the payoff verse. This is eternal life. This is the resurrection life. That they, all flesh, may know you. You see? So anytime somebody tells you that you can't know, just take them right there. Because Jesus Christ says the whole point of giving somebody a resurrection life, and that's what he gives to believers in Christ at the moment of salvation. The whole point of doing that is so that you can know him. This is eternal life, that they, all flesh, may know you, the only true God, and that they may know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And I was reflecting on this. I was reflecting on a conversation I had with my life insurance guy, who is out in Chicago. We've been friends for years. And I was evangelizing to him at breakfast one morning. He's a Roman Catholic. He has been for his whole life. And I was telling him about the way to be saved. You know, I always start that conversation the same way. How do you get to heaven? And, you know, then they tell you some goofy thing. You know, you have to be a good person. And, you know, you have to help little old ladies across the street, you know, and all those things that don't have anything to do with it, right? So I said, no, seriously, how do you get to heaven? He said, well, I just think you believe in Jesus Christ and you keep the sacraments. I said, well, you got half of it right. Right? You believe in Jesus Christ, but not the Jesus Christ of Roman Catholicism. You believe in the real Jesus Christ, not another Jesus. And so that led to a conversation. I'll keep the long story short, but the long and short of it was when we got to right down to the, through all the evangelism, all the gospel message, he absolutely knew that what I was telling him was true. And he was not willing to believe it. And why do you think that is? It's because the Roman Catholic Church indoctrinates you to believe that if you leave the church, you're going to hell. And he believes that over what the Bible has to say about how to be saved. You see? That's real life. These are the people in our real life, the people who are our friends, our family. That's really what happens, that something of the lie sticks, and they grab onto it, and they can't let that go. And that part is a lie. It just is. And you have to be willing to believe Christ over Catholicism. It's that simple. And there are going to be a lot of really good people in the lake of fire who just couldn't do that, who refused to do that, to believe Christ over Catholicism. There he says it. Put it up again, Denny. John 17:3. This is the resurrection life, that all flesh may know you, Father, the only true God, and that they may know Jesus Christ, me, whom you have sent. That's it. And you know what the Greek is talking about in this verse is knowing the Lord is the intimacy of a sexual relationship. The Lord's dealings with you and his thoughts about you are always intensely personal. When you think about God, during those things, when you think about God, and I don't care whether you're a believer in Christ or not, I don't care. During those times when you're thinking anything about God, do you ever stop to think that he knew you personally by name a billion years ago? Do you ever think about the fact that he cared about you and loved you unconditionally a billion years ago before he even thought about creating you? Do you ever think about that? And that he has you by name in his mind. It's that personal. No job is not a surprise to him. He's already provided for it in the past with the result that it will be shown to you soon. And so you get to sit around. You can bite on your nails. You bite all the way up to the elbow. You can get nervous, although you don't really do that. You're sitting around. You're going, all right, The Voice. I get to watch the last 16 years of The Voice. Awesome. I don't have to get out of bed. That's you, right? God knew about that a billion years ago, see, and made perfect provision for it. Irrevocable, unchangeable decision that he made a billion years ago on your behalf, and it will unfold to you. See, that's the real God. And so when we hear this part of Romans 8:28, and we know, you need to know that. That is knowable. It's in the 66 books right here. It's repeated over and over and over again. And for those of you who are audio only, I'm holding a Bible. It's in the Bible, in the 66 books, and it's repeated again and again and again and again that it is personal between you and God. He knows you personally, and all of his dealings with you are personal, intensely personal, as intensely personal as a sexual relationship. Because we know that God cares about the little thing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 says this, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. The very hairs on your head are all numbered. He knows every single follicle of every single hair on your head, and no detail is left out. And if you go into the Old Testament, for example, and notice the instructions that he gives for different things, like go there sometime when you're doing nothing and read the instructions that he gave to Noah about how to build the ark. There wasn't one thing to think about. There wasn't one thing left to chance. That's our God. God knows everything about you. and he wants you to know everything about him. Well, I don't know. You know, the finite mind of man can never really know everything about God. I just hope there are rubber rooms in heaven. I do. Because I want to get some of these megachurch pastors in a rubber room and just beat the crap out of them for teaching stuff like that. Because that's what they do. They teach this all the time. You never can really know because we are finite. So what they're saying, in essence, is the Holy Spirit can't get an infinite message into a finite being. But they'll say out of the next corner of their mouth, nothing's impossible with God. Well, if nothing's impossible with God, can he get an infinite message into a finite mind? He can. And if he didn't think he could do it, he would have made your minds different so he could get the message in there. See? So it's really simple. You can know God. He wants you to know him, and he knows you. And he always has, he does now, and he always will. Romans 8:28, God causes. That's the next part. So, and we know God causes. The mistranslation from the King James Version is, all things work together for good. No. The Greek says, God causes all things to work together for good. So what does that mean? It means God is the source. Aristotle knew that. Aristotle is in the lake of fire today. But he knew that. He knew that God was the source. He said, from all of his empirical research, there is an unmoved mover. That's the source. He said there is an unmoved mover. He just never bothered to find out the name of that unmoved mover, and that is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he was a brilliant guy who was in the lake of fire today because he was so smart that he missed a very simple thing that was put in his face time and time and time again, and his intellect was more important to him than his spiritual life and his eternal future. See? God is the source. And that means that God is the cause. Because he is the source and the cause, everything that happens to you is personal. Have you ever heard somebody say, after they screw you, it's not personal, it's just business. Have you ever heard somebody say that? And one of the parts of my ministry to corporations is to let them know it's all personal. And they're in shock when I say that because they want to believe that other lie. It's all personal. And believe me, if you hurt me, it's personal. And I will get you back. I know what the Bible says about that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. But there's nothing like a switchblade and a really expensive tire, amen? And I just can't get that ghetto out of me, amen? Yeah, there are a lot of people, they come running back in the building, and I just wait for the perfect time, like it's raining really hard. And they come running back in the building soaking wet. Man, I got a flat, I don't know how that happened. Need an umbrella? I ain't helping you. I thought you were a pastor. I thought pastors were supposed to help. Yeah, they are, I just ain't helping with that. You want to get to heaven? Call me. You want to get your tire fixed? Call AAA. Amen? Sorry. Everything happens for a reason. So look, because God is the source, we can now put to bed this stupidity. Everything happens for a reason. It's all good, and everything will work out in the end. We can now put all that stuff to bed because those are fairy tales that leave God out of the picture and leave our outcomes to fate. They leave our outcomes to the universe. The universe, I always want to, I swear, those are the people I want to punch the most, the people who talk about the universe. Like the universe just opened up and oh my God. Everything that happens to you is personal. Everything. So Martin Luther, who blew up the Catholic Church with his 95 theses that he tacked to the wall of the Vatican, almost getting himself killed, disagrees with this everything happens for a reason idea. Here's what he has to say. He said, God the Holy Spirit makes all things, even when they are evil, work together for good. And it couldn't have been better said. God the Holy Spirit makes all things, even when they are evil, work together for good. And that is amazing, and I am so happy about that, because if you listen to the wisdom of the world, for example, 92% of relationships that start with an adulterous affair end up in divorce. You know, that's a Dr. Phil thing, right? They'll always tell you something about your relationship that makes you feel like your relationship can't possibly succeed. And that's just one of the things, the many things, lies that I've heard Dr. Phil say. And when you start hearing that quote-unquote wisdom of the world, you wonder how any of your relationships would ever have an opportunity to succeed, because you've done every stupid thing that they talk about in there. But one of the things that is never present is what? God can work all things together for your good, even when those things happen to be evil. Isn't it good? Because we do stupid stuff. You know, that thing that I put up in the beginning is funny, but it's really true. A lot of the things that happen to us happen because we do stupid stuff and we make bad decisions. And God doesn't care about that. What he cares about is causing all those things to work together for your good. Now, you look at me, you hear me say that, and you go, I don't know about this guy. Can you show us that in the Bible? Because you don't want to believe that. You would much rather believe what all the lying pastors say about how you're doomed to hell. And those are the guys who don't have to ask you for birthday presents. Right? They're getting birthday presents. See, I'm better than Joel Osteen, but Joel Osteen's going to get a lot more birthday presents than I get. Amen? But I'm better than Joel Osteen, even though I don't have 50,000 people about to give me a birthday present. Because I'm telling the truth. T-R-O-O-F. This is the truth. And that's what you need to hear. You need to hear the truth. That God is not worried about your mistakes. How many times have you heard that from a pulpit? God is not worried about your mistakes, people. God is not worried about your sins, people. God is not worried about how much you're trying to impress them. As a matter of fact, he's glad that you're doing that, because there's no comedy club in heaven. And then you become the comedy club trying to impress God and to beg him with all your vows. And all your promises about what you're going to do to straighten out. And he knows that 10 minutes from now, you're going to be breaking that promise. And that's a comedy club. You imagine the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit sitting around watching that on TV, huh? You making promises. So thank you, Martin Luther, for the insight. And thank you, God, for what you're able to do with evil. Because nothing is impossible with God. Because which of our relationships didn't start with evil as part of it? And who of us can do what God does? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13 says, consider the work of God, for who is able to strengthen what he has bent? You know another way to say that? I'm going to read it to you again. Consider the work of God. This is Ecclesiastes 7:13. Consider the work of God. For who is able to strengthen what he has bent? You want to know another way to say that? In Revelation, when God opens a door for you, nobody can shut it. And that's it. When he does something for you, it can't be undone. So get those weak thoughts about your weak God out of your head. Because your God is not weak. There's nothing he can't do. And just because you don't believe that, just because you're a doubter, just because you don't believe he saves the best for last, just because you're a doubter, it does not change one thing with him. And there are a lot of people who are like that. You know, they always got their arms folded about life. And they may not fold their arms actually about life, but they might not do it physically, but in their head, their arm is folded. Oh, no. Oh, no. I am not going to be happy. It doesn't matter what you do. I refuse to be happy. If anything comes into my life that looks like it could be good and it could make me happy, my arms are out. My arms are folded. That was me. That was me for 9 years. I didn't look like that, did I? Because I laugh a lot. You didn't know. But that was me for 9 years. And God said, all right, man, I'm going to bring a crazy woman into your life. Let's see how long you have your arms folded now. And believe me, I did not think that could ever happen, that I could ever feel the way I feel about Lila, about anybody, and that I would ever get married again. I did not believe it. God doesn't care about your doubt. Not at all. He's better than your doubt. Can I get an amen? No. He's better than your doubt. Voice, woman. He is. Isn't that great? He's better than our doubt. See, you don't think your life is going well. You know, you listen to the world's telling you, you're a failure. You are never going to be back on top again. You listen to that crowd. I don't. I don't care what the world says to me. I may get down for a second, but then I get mad. It's like, wait a minute, you telling me God can't do it? God can do it. I get up, crawl on daddy's shoulders and say, let's go kick their butts. The wonder of God working evil together for good is mostly unimaginable. Well, let's take a quick music break and contemplate that, and it's a perfect song, Celebrate Jesus.
Celebrate Jesus.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lessons, God's dealings with you are personal. We continue our review of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which says this, "And we know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God the Father, to those who are called according to the Father's purpose." And the next part we'll look at is all things. How many things?
All
things. So it leaves nothing out. All things are the things that we see and the things that we don't see. And the things that we don't see are much more powerful than the things that we do see. I think about all the people I know who have found out that they have cancer in the last 3 years, almost all of whom are cancer-free now. And I know the things they saw as they were going through the recovery process. Because there are these things you see. You know, one of my buddies is going through chemo right now. It's just funny to listen to him. He's so matter-of-fact about it, and he's telling me that. Yeah, they tell you with chemo that anything that grows is done. And so that includes all my hair. So that came, I was thinking they were kidding, but he said my hair came out at an alarming rate. It just was all out. And then he said, you just relax in it because there's nothing you can do about it. It's just gone. Just goes. He was so amazing about it. But there are so many things that God did for him and for them that they never could have foreseen. And if you had asked them, if you had made a list and said, hey, here are the things you're going to go through, which ones of these 10 things do you think God's going to handle? They wouldn't have believed that God could handle 3 of them. But he handled them all. I was thinking about Tony LaGrasso when I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how a billion years ago, God knew that Tony would have stem cell cancer and gave him a sister that was a perfect genetic match. And he did that a billion years ago. That's just amazing. And, you know, we'll think it's a coincidence. Oh, isn't that lucky? Everything happens for a reason. That was God orchestrating it. What? All things. Every single thing that you think. God cares about what pen you write with. Everything that you think is minuscule, he has already thought of it. And that's one of the things that I'm looking most forward to talking to him about. I'm looking forward to having him show me all the times when he protected me and I didn't even see it. That I was walking into a trap and he created the circumstances so that I would be protected. And I have people tell me that all the time. You know what? You are so protected. And I'm finally starting to believe it. It's the things that you see, but it's also the things that you don't see. And God has done a lot for us that we could never foresee. Psalm 73, verses 12 to 14 say this, "Behold, these are the wicked. They're always at ease. They have increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence." Psalm 73:14, "For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning." That's the way believers feel. You know, we look at the Al Capones of the world and we say, my God, you know, his life was pretty good. He got all the money he wanted. He could bully people around. I like watching mafia movies and, you know, glorifying that lifestyle. But when you compare it to the lake of fire, it's not so glorious, is it? And not the lake of fire because they were bad people. The lake of fire because they were so busy with their bad things that they didn't take advantage of Christ and the free gift of eternal life. And they always end up dead way too soon, way sooner than they would have had to be dead, over their own arrogance, thinking that they run the universe when they don't. And so that's what this passage in Psalms is about. We watch the wicked. We see how they go about their things. They think that they can dominate everybody and everything. And then they just end up dead. See, when we worship the Lord, we don't worship a dead guy. We worship a Lord that has risen and that is very much alive and who will come back here and take his stand on the earth. You know, Paul's a nice guy, but Paul's not here anymore and he's not coming back. Our Lord's coming back. Paul is alive, chilling in heaven, but he's not coming back here. But our Lord is. And when he comes back, the wicked will look at him and they will fall down and cry and they'll do all the things that we do as believers in Christ, but for completely different reasons. So the psalmist sees the wicked prospering, but there are things that God is working in the background that we don't see. And one of the things we can take comfort in is God is allowing the wicked to prosper because they won't prosper in the lake of fire. Romans 8:28, to work together for good. And we know God causes the all things to work together for good. So we couldn't leave you hanging. So what happened to Job in chapter 2? Let's take a look at Job chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Again, there was a day when the sons of God, the Beniha Elohim, came to present themselves before the Lord. The Beniha Elohim are the angels, the angelic creatures. They came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also, the head of the angelic creatures, came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, Job 2:2, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Satan was boasting because he was walking around strutting on his planet. He is the ruler of this world. Job 2:3. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And you remember that was God poking at Satan. For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Satan, you rule planet earth, but you don't rule Job. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. Because in chapter 1, the Lord allowed Satan to kill all of Job's children and allowed Satan to wipe out Job's wealth. And that's what the Lord means by you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. So that verse, Job 2:3, Satan is getting a spanking. And what the Lord is telling him is, you were wrong about him, weren't you? Now, what should Satan have said at this point? When the Lord said to him, you were wrong about Job, weren't you? What should he have said? Yeah, I was. But you know why he didn't? Because he's a liar, the father of all lies. There's no truth in him. And so he's not going to tell the truth. So what does he do instead? After getting the spanking, he says, Satan answers the Lord and said, skin for skin, which means this for that. Oh, yeah, sure. He followed you. He was willing to trade his kids and his possessions for his own life. So, of course, he'll give all those things for his life, Job 2:5. But put forth your hand now. Touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Once again, Satan is thinking that Job has a price. Yeah, he didn't learn. Did he? He didn't learn. There's some people that just refuse to learn. Satan is one of those guys. So he didn't learn. Now, touch his bone and his flesh, mar his health, and he'll curse you to your face. So Satan reasons that Job made a trade, but he didn't fall apart because his health wasn't affected. So the Lord says to Satan, okay, well, he's in your power. Just don't take his life. And so Satan goes out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, that's skin cancer, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. So here's a guy who just lost all of his kids, who just lost all of his wealth, and now he has skin cancer. He's got to be thinking, God, I'm mad at God. Why did you do this to me? Shouldn't that be what he's thinking? It's not what he was thinking. Job 2:8, Job took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. A potsherd is a large stone. And so what he was doing is sitting down and scraping off his skin with this large stone. It's kind of gross when you think about it. Job 2:9. Well, since Job wasn't reacting to the situation, Job's wife comes in to help. Wives do this a lot of times. If we as guys aren't emotional enough, the women in our lives will come in and express the emotions for us and tell us how we ought to be feeling about a situation. So Job's wife comes in and says, "Do you still hold fast your integrity?" In other words, are you still not mad at God? Curse God and die. And that's the way she thought about God, that if you got mad at God, he was going to strike you dead. Job answered her beautifully. Job said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks." See, I wouldn't have said that. I would have had a much better, more poignant, more, I can't even say the word.
Poignant.
My comment would have been much more direct than that. Said, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Beautiful. Now, even though it was probably hard for Job to see at this point, God is working all these things together for his good. And God did work things out for Job. See? And Job knew it. Job expressed faith, not doubt. And the people around him were doubting, and he wasn't. And they thought he was crazy. Romans 8:28, to those who love God. Who are those who love God? Believers in Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. That's us. Believers in Christ are the only ones who are able to love God, because God puts himself in us to radiate from us unconditional love. Romans 8:28, to those who are the called ones, to those who are the called ones. Here's the reinforcement that this verse is describing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a reference to the invited ones. The invited ones are whosoever. Every human being that comes to the earth is an invited one. Every human being that comes to the earth is a whosoever. But the called ones are those who have chosen God's solution for salvation instead of their own. That's you, believers in Christ. You've chosen God's solution for salvation instead of your own. These are the called ones. These are the ones who love God. God begins all of his dealings with mankind with a call that is personally felt and must be personally responded to. That's the gospel message. The gospel message: believe in Christ, eternal life; reject Christ, eternal condemnation. That's intensely personal, and it gets right into you, and it goes right to the heart of things and says, here's the issue. What do you think? What do you think about the Christ? Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. What do you think about that? He goes right to the heart, which is wonderful. Next, Romans 8:28, according to his purpose. In God's plan, his purpose is absolute, as is everything in the matter of God's plan. It's absolute. There's no equivocation. There's black and white, and that's it. Absolute and definite. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11 says this: this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which God the Father carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In God's plan, everything doesn't have a reason. In God's plan, everything has a purpose. What is his purpose? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, divine omnipotence, the God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not because we were doing anything to impress him, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. So Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, and we know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God the Father, to those who are called according to the Father's purpose. We can look at that verse now and we can see this. We know, because God wants us to know it and him, God the Father causes, because he is the source, everything, all things, to work together for good. He takes the evil and the good and makes it work for you. For who? To those who love God, believers in Christ. To those who are called according to the Father's purpose. And the Father's purpose is that you have a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with him. That's what God wants with you. A deep, intimate, and personal relationship. You can try to make it shallow and insignificant and impersonal. You can treat God like an object if you want to, but he isn't going to change one thing in how he deals with you. You can resist him if you want to. You can say, yeah, I don't really want to do your program. I got a better idea than you. And he's going to stay right there with you. And he's just going to wait, knowing what you're going to really do. And what you're really going to do is going to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the truth. So when you think about this verse in the future, maybe, just maybe, you'll think about how much more personal God's dealings with you are. Every hair on your head is numbered. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. At a single moment in time, you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you stand saved once and forever. Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no one else. There's no other name that's been given among men by which we must be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, behold, I stand at the door of your soul and I keep on knocking. That verse is on the French fry bag at In-N-Out Burger. Behold, I stand at the door of your soul and I keep on knocking. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, maybe you will, maybe you won't. You have a choice, third class condition, if in the Greek. I will come in to him and I will dine with him and he with me. I will come in to indwell him and will dine with him in fellowship and he will be in fellowship with me. 2 Timothy 1:9, the Lord has saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and through the grace which was granted to us, this group of us that are in union with Christ Jesus from all eternity. Closing song, Fear Not.
Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Please do not tremble, no need to be dismayed. I'm God, I'm for you, so who can be against you? Stand firm in the truth, do not be afraid. Fear not, I am always with you. Fear not, I am faithful, tried and true. Fear not, the Holy Spirit will enable you. Fear not, weapons formed against you I detest. Not be stripped from my breast. Fear not, fear only, not entering my rest. I've given you my best. Fear not. not given a spirit of fear that leads you back to slavery. I've given you a spirit of power and love. The more you give in to your fear, hiding from reality, a paralyzed prisoner of fear, you make yourself victim of. Fear not, I am always with you. Fear not, I am faithful, tried and true. Fear not, the Holy Spirit will enable you. Fear not, weapons formed against you I detest. Fear not, you cannot be stripped from my breast. Fear not, fear only, not entering my rest. I've given you my best. Fear not. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts it out. Fear leads to torment, my beloved. No need to doubt. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. I am always with you. Fear not, I am faithful, tried and true. Fear not, the Holy Spirit will enable you. Fear not, weapons formed against you I detest. Fear not, you cannot be stripped from my breast. Fear not, fear only. Forsake you or betray you. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not.
That's right, because there's nothing to be afraid of, right? If God is for you, and he is, who can be against you? Nobody. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for considering us your personal project. Thank you for knowing us the way you know us, which is you know everything about us. You know things about us that we don't even know about ourselves. And thank you for always providing everything. Not in our daily experience, but thanks for putting aside things for us a billion years ago that are unfolding to us now, that you always knew we would need and that you were able to provide it and willing to provide it. And just help us to see you in everything that comes our way and help us to enjoy the fact that we have the sovereign God of the universe on our side. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.